It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I don't know why this is. I'm blaming this on the anthropologist in me. I have recently been delving into places like Memebase and Reddit and things like that, and I've been looking up stuff about nice guys.
Nice?
You familiar with the term, nice guys?
I mean, I guess. Like a term people use to describe certain people?
Yes.
Maybe I'm not familiar with how the term is used.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I don't mean a dictionary definition of the word nice paired with a dictionary definition of the word guy.
I'm getting that's what...
Yes, no.
So I probably don't know what you're talking
about. A nice guy is a specific term.
Okay.
And it's a complicated one, but it essentially is... it is closely tied to the term incel, which you may be familiar with.
I am familiar
with
that
red one. Red pillar... And men's rights activists. These are not the same things, but they are closely tied.
I've heard the red pill thing, but I don't understand what that is exactly.
Oh, it's just for men's rights. It's supposed to be an implication that they have seen the way the world really is.
Oh, they've been made aware of the Matrix.
Exactly, exactly. and which mostly involves how women are super evil, I think. But anyway. What took them so long to figure out?
There goes the producers speaking for all of
womankind. Nice guys specifically are ones that tend to have a philosophy along the lines of women, all of women, only want some combination of good-looking men and men who treat them horribly. And... men who are nice, gentlemanly, kind to them, respectful. They use the word respect in really bad usage towards them. They either reject or ignore or friend zone. Closely tied to nice guys is the belief of the friend zone. And this is all frequently tied to behavior in which a young man often is very nice but overly sort of aggressively friendly and or romantic to a woman he doesn't know or barely knows, and when he is rejected gets very angry and calls her terrible things and wishes terrible things on her. Yes, because I'm such a nice guy. The term comes about because... by sort of weird coincidence, the behavior is often tied to these individuals self-identifying as a nice guy in the more traditional term.
Okay.
They say, I don't know why people like me. I'm a nice guy. Women say I'm too nice. This is what I get for being nice. This is frequently what they say.
Hmm.
It's a plague.
A plague?
Yes, they're fucking everywhere. And they are, it's a really horrific form of harasser that exists, in particular online. It is something that is close to my heart because I was one of these before these existed. In my adolescence, I was kind of one of these. I didn't wish ill on anyone or anything like that, but I constantly felt like, why am I always just somebody's friend, and I would treat them so nice, and why are they with that jerk? Oh, it's because he's good-looking, or it's because they don't know what they want, or because they've just been socialized to want to be treated like crap. I really think you're not mic'd enough that this is going to work, baby.
But it's awesome.
It's fun for William. If the rest of you are hearing it, that's great. If not, I apologize, but I refuse to translate every side conversation from the peanut gallery. But William likes it. And I've always known this was a thing, but for some reason lately, and part of it is I've sort of stumbled into Reddit a little bit, and there are subreddits sort of dedicated to this concept, and I'm a little obsessed with it lately. Also, nowadays with all these dating apps like Tinder and things like that, huge more prevalence of these kind of guys. Because there's much more sort of access. And they're like, hey, you're cute. And then based on what they say or whatever, a woman would be like, I'm not interested. And they're like, oh, fuck you. Women are whores. Blah, blah, blah. And guys making profiles talking about, I'm just a nice guy. If you want somebody to be really mean to you, you should go somewhere else. I'm the kind of guy you friend zone, but maybe you shouldn't. If you just give me a chance. All that kind of shit. So I'm fascinated by this. Partially, there's just the random dopamine thing. I get outraged by it and, you know. That fires off chemicals in my brain that I like. It's kind of like reading political stories about politicians you hate. And it's not good for me. But anyway, in a way, it's also very much a serious reminder for me of what things are like out there. Not so I won't be like this, because I'm not going to be like this, but so that I can remember when interacting with primarily women that this is the kind of shit they've had to put up with. And so if they respond in ways that to me seem a little overly cautious or whatever, that I realize that's not me. That's like it helps me to find ways that I can be non-threatening in dealing with people, especially women.
Right.
Because I now realize like how my, I've had conversations with people about this, situations where I'm like, this could have been solved by just saying something, because I'll see situations where nobody said it, and a lot of women have told me they have adopted policies where it's like, you don't make eye contact, you don't engage, even just to say go away, because once you've made that connection, they're locked on, essentially. And so things like this, so to better understand how to behave non-threatening. And also, because I get a really big thrill out of the idea that even though I'm never going to be in the dating pool again, if I was, I would be a catch. Because I would not be pulling this shit.
And then you'd wonder why nobody's dating you.
It's because they just want those other guys. No, the weird thing is I was still like this in college, and then I was dating like crazy. But like in breakups and stuff, I would still have this sort of vibe at times. It was odd. It took a long time to get away from it. And I think in some degrees it took me being confronted with the modern incarnation of this to be like, holy crap, that was me before. I wouldn't say I was an intense version, but I definitely think I was a nice guy. I'm glad as a teenager, the internet as it is today did not exist for me, or I would have been a real fucking creep. I'll put it that way.
Well, my experience is kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I had female friends from the time I was in elementary school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I went through that whole thing where I had girlfriends and stuff when I was in elementary school all that jazz. Then when junior high and high school came along, I didn't date anybody from my town. When I started dating seriously, it was always someone from
Canada,
someplace else
that they've never met.
No, just
Dallas.
Anyway, now. I do remember there were some friends of mine, and we'd been friends for years, and they would date a guy, and it did not seem like this is, I mean, I would never have guessed. In fact, they probably told me at some point in the past I would never date that guy, and now they're dating this guy.
Mm.
And it isn't a nice guy. It's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But I can't remember ever feeling like, oh, why isn't she dating me? I mean, nobody seemed to want to date me. And I had these conversations with women, girls would talk to me all the time about their boyfriend and complaining about how awful he was usually.
Yeah.
And then they'd say things like, well, actually, this only happened a couple times because I learned right away what it meant and I never asked again. when they would say these things, they'd say, or she said, you know, all men are trash or all boys are awful or whatever.
Okay.
And so then I respond. The first time I heard this, I responded, well, what about me? And what she said was, well, you're not a guy.
Oh, okay.
Now, think about what was said. Not, you're not that kind of guy.
No.
You're not a bad guy.
Yeah.
You're not a guy.
Yes, no.
Now,
that happened a lot.
Now, that only happened once because I only asked once.
Mm.
But there were some times where a young woman would say this around me, then look at me like, oh, but not you, Bill. You're not a guy. They always said that. Didn't matter who the woman was. And it was never, you're not that kind of guy.
Or, yeah, no.
You're not a guy.
Yeah.
So I learned very quickly that, oh, I see. I'm not a guy to these women. So of course they don't want to date me. And okay, so we just won't date. I mean, I never felt offended by it. I never felt friend zoned, whatever that meant.
And, this is going to come as a shock to you, but your experience was highly unusual. Or I should refer, in this case, it's your reaction was highly unusual. I want to say a close version of the you're not a guy thing is, oh, what, this guy is so horrible or whatever. Why can't I just find somebody like you?
I think that kind of thing was
That's
said.
Another one?
I think that kind of thing was
said. And then frequently in response to that, they'd be like, no, I think of you more like a brother, or I just see you as a friend. And so here's the component you have to put in the back of this that I think you lacked in this situation, that I definitely had. Puberty has hit. You are, to borrow a phrase from a great Correct video, chaotically horny all the time. And you don't even realize that's what it is. And you translate a lot of this into just thinking you're incredibly romantic. So you fall in love with almost any girl that you think is passable looking that has given you any attention ever. And you are so convinced that you love them that, of course, you would be great together because you would treat them so well. And this is the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. So your version of treating them so well is an absolute put them on a pedestal princess worshiping them thing, not treating them like a normal, regular human. but you are convinced that this is perfect for them. And so the fact that they do care about you and spend time with you and notice you, but somehow won't give you a chance... Why does this happen? There has to be, for lack of a better term, a conspiracy behind it.
Mm.
Or a massive thing about this is another nice guy phrase you'll hear, Lana. The female species.
Species?
Yeah.
Well, but see...
And that's what so much of these things come down to, because so many of the complaints I see in these things, I will bet you there is a woman out there who they may or may not have met. In fact, even multiple women who they may or may not have met who are actually the way they say. Because you know what? Women are individual humans, just like men. And to come up with this, women act like this, that's your problem right there. It's like the content is pretty horrible too. But when you say women are just interested in whatever, you know what? There are women who are like that. But there are also women that have it here. Like, it's the dumbest.
Well, I guess another thing is...
And the same fact that they just want a woman to be... not, like, they want a woman to give them a chance, and they don't really care which one in certain ways. But, of course, they do care, because if they were too unattractive, they wouldn't be interested. But
well, I think I just felt like they did tell me why, and I accepted that as an answer. Plus, our class sizes were like 32 people.
Yeah.
We did know these people our whole lives. It made perfect sense for them to not be interested in someone who was, as you say, like a brother.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the reason they dated these other guys who I didn't think were very nice guys, well, they didn't know them.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I suddenly started dating a lot when I went to college.
Well,
because these people did not grow up with me and they found me attractive.
Again, when I would go out of town, I would meet young women, and I didn't have a problem finding
William
people.
William always had a woman in every port.
No, it's not. That's not what I mean. I mean that I was, because another thing women in my school did quite a bit was they dated people from other places, which of course they did, because all the guys they grew up with from kindergarten are like their cousins. I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah, no, see, amongst my classes and everything, plenty of people dated plenty of people in there.
I mean, well, and not mine too, but there was a lot of people who wouldn't date someone who was from town.
Yeah. And it helped when, as we got older, and like when you'd go to a next size up school, there'd be more kids and they'd be from other places.
Yeah, that you didn't know, yeah.
We had a whole bunch of elementary schools that fed into the middle school. And then we had just that middle school went to the high school, but then people would move and stuff like that. So that would change things. Homeschool kids would come in, stuff like that. So.
But also, as you were kind of implying, I did not feel any urgency to...
Yes, you were not furiously horny.
No, like, I was like not. I didn't have this urgency to date someone. In fact, I was pretty sure I wouldn't date anyone until college, and I was perfectly fine with that. That ended up not being the case. But I was totally convinced of that. So when I had female friends... I really had female friends. I mean, they weren't just in the back of my mind, well, I'm friends with them, but I'm kind of hoping we date. No, it wasn't anything like that.
I was in a weird mix where I genuinely always had more female friends than male friends. And even though my best friends always had to be boys, I think I just felt that social pressure.
Sure, sure.
The relationship wasn't there. And in fact, I think that's why I started dating when I was 3. Because when you're young enough, you call somebody your girlfriend. That just means you can hang out with them and you have an excuse for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, and I've always had more female friends, and I tend to like my female friends better. At the same time, growing up, I also would have done, I don't want to say slept with because this was as early as like 6th grade or whatever, but would have done sexy stuff with any of them at any time if any of them had been willing. Because, yeah, no, I was a very hormonal teenager. I was a very early bloomer in terms of sexual interest and sex drive and things like that. Hmm. And, yeah. But anyway, the reason I bring all of this up is to say that I'm becoming fascinated with stuff, and I'm becoming fascinated with the modern version of this. And in particular... Tinder. I'm fascinated by Tinder because there are these weird conversations people have because everybody's on Tinder for different reasons and they're not necessarily matching. And there's a lot of guys who are like this. And like you talked about years ago, a common thing now is a guy just immediately asks for naked pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And shockingly, a lot of women don't want to do that. And a lot of men think that's weird and that they're being a jerk by not wanting to do that. And all this stuff's fascinating, and I'm talking to Trish about it yesterday morning, I don't know, recently this week, sometime as we're driving to work, and I say, I really am getting this urge, I just want to make a Tinder profile as a female through some weird combination of, like, just exploring it and just to sort of fuck with the assholes and stuff, which I'd, like, not have, but I tell this to Trish. Care to guess what Trish's response was?
Because I don't think I could possibly guess.
There's so many options, but I feel like there's some certain buckets that a lot of people would have high on their list
maybe,
of guests.
Maybe.
Well, probably what would not be high up on the list was what she actually told me, which was, not until you finish your book. So my point in telling this story is I fucking love my life.
That's a good
and
one.
I fucking love my marriage.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. That's the
I'm like,
the
there are so many layers to the fact that that's the conversation we had and that's how it ended. And I love all of those layers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, this is awesome.
That is awesome.
and I do have to finish the book. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking App podcast, the only podcast where you hear about nice guys and how this is prompting a former nice guy to just try and pretend to be a woman on Tinder for no reason. But can't do it because his wife says he can't until he finishes his book.
It's anthropological research, as you said.
Yes. I'm pretty well, and just schadenfreude and just
okay,
a desire to fuck with assholes. But I feel confident in saying this is the only podcast where that's
probably
true.
Probably
in the world. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 396.
Yes. And here we are.
Here we are.
It's getting cold.
It is.
Yep. Tonight is right. We had to bring in plants. I say we. Trish had to bring in plants. Because it's frost warning
yep,
tonight.
Frost
so.
Warning. It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know that I was quite ready for this, but I am enjoying the cooler weather.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of the week, weirdly, was fucking rainforest.
It was awful.
And it was hot and humid. It was like 80s. Humid.
It's not
raining constantly.
It's not what October should be.
And now it's 40s in the day, 30s at night.
That's closer to what October should be.
Yeah, but also not in the span of a week.
Well,
that's insane.
The way October used to be was, you would get temperature extremes in a span of a week, but it'd be more like from 60 to 40. Or
yeah, no, exactly
like that.
Yeah, you should not be going from the Amazon to Saskatchewan.
That's crazy. But but back in the day when it was 60 to 40, people still complained about how I wasn't wearing a jacket. Now I have to wear a jacket.
Yeah, no, are you so excited when it finally starts snowing and nobody knows how to drive?
Well, yeah.
We are Midwesterners. We are good at this, except the first time it snows. Every year, the first time it snows, none of us have any idea what the fuck we're doing. I don't know why. We all forget.
It is like
we remember within that like day, but that first day is a disaster. For those of you just joining us on the show, you're probably confused. This is not going to help. We have a hat. It's magic, and then it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, smart people, sexy people, people who may or may not have been chaotically horny when they were adolescents, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest physically within the hat. Oh, sorry, with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Servants, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. So, I'm still on Facebook. But as we all know, I'm on Facebook for two things. Once a week, I post the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning, I go just to see messages and like to keep my notifications cleared because I don't want to wait a week and go back to have 200 things about people's birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I do. I don't comment. I don't like. I don't scroll through. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What this means is just every once in a while, I learn something about how someone is doing.
Okay.
Whatever's my top thing.
Sure.
And sometimes it's really pointless. Sometimes it's really significant. So anyway, a couple days ago, up pops, apparently, Craig is about to celebrate his 6-month anniversary.
Oh.
And there were a lot of pictures of the wedding.
Oh.
And weirdly, because of how they were done, it took me a little while to confirm which one was Craig.
What? I mean, he's the groom, right?
Yeah.
But it was hard to tell who the
I think
groom
it had
was.
Okay. I'm gonna have to word this carefully or Craig's gonna get really insulted.
Do you care about that?
I do. Okay. He's a longtime listener.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I only ever want to offend people on purpose with design.
Okay.
Not accidentally. And this one's kind of weird. So I don't think it's bad if you understand it, but I think there are ways to say it that make it sound really bad.
Okay.
So I think it's the order of the pictures because it was an album, so I clicked on it and was like going through them. And there's a lot of pictures of the bride was easy to spot.
Sure.
She was in a wedding dress. Easy to spot.
Okay.
The most of the men, all the men in the wedding party or anything like that, were wearing kilts.
Sure.
They are, you know, Scottish.
Scottish, right.
So yeah, bride, easy to spot. So the first few pictures, there's a lot of pictures. There's some small groups and stuff. There's not a big group picture. But there are a lot of pictures of the bride and another man.
Okay.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
Could be dad, though.
Well, here's the thing. Much older than the bride.
Usually.
No. Sorry. I thought it went without saying that the father of the bride is usually... I'm really kind of surprised you hedged and went with usually... much older than the bride. Yes. No, I'm saying the man in these pictures specifically was much older than the woman in these pictures in the bridal gown that I was confident was the bride.
Right, right.
But I don't want to judge, you know? So, and I don't technically know. I thought I remembered that Craig was not old. This guy was pretty old. But I'm like, I don't remember for sure, and I don't want to bring it. I think it's weirder if I assume it's the father and then later find out it's the groom. Like, that feels weird.
Oh, man.
And I'm certainly not going to assume it's the groom, but, you know, this is the thing. I'm trying to keep my options open. And there's a lot of them. There's like three or four out of like the 16 total pictures.
Of the bride and the dad, you mean?
Of the bride and this guy. The probability wave has not yet collapsed on this guy's identity.
Oh, man. I don't know why I find it so funny. Maybe it's just watching you struggle with it. The way you are. That
I'm not
hilarious.
Sure. I think it might get a little worse before it gets better. So, but eventually I do hit a pictures that involve the bride and a younger man.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they look much more comparable in age. Not necessarily identical age, okay. But okay. Of a generation, at sure. least, sure. Which the others were clearly not. Oh, this is where it gets rough. There is a not minor resemblance between these two.
Okay, just the family. Everybody out, just the family of the bride, right?
Is that what you're thinking? That's the thing. Or, I mean, I have a picture from my sister's wedding that's my sister and me and my brother.
Right, sure.
So this could be the bride taking a picture with her brother. And especially if we're assuming, which... I'm leaning towards that other guy was her dad.
Sure.
Then by the magic of Facebook orders, this could be her brother.
Could be.
It's not definite. I don't think they're twins or anything weird like that. I'm just saying all British people look alike. No. But then...
Okay, there's a then.
We get into like a couple different shots of these two people together in different places. And I'm like, nobody loves their brother this much and admits it on Facebook. And then eventually we got a shot of the couple kissing. And I'm like, now we know. That's the guy.
The brother.
I don't know how they do things in Melcher, Dallas, but no. This was clearly the groom at this point. And I will say this, which, you know, you can take this however you want for this part, Craig. This is the part to intentionally, I don't know, offend you, but I plan to throw this out here. Your bride looks very cute. Your wife looks very cute. You look exactly like I pictured you. I'm just going to leave that there, and you decide what to do with that. But you look pretty much exactly how I always pictured you. And I've never heard your voice or anything. The entirety of my knowledge of you is from emails and forum posts, both on The Hat and on Happy Jacks.
Did you see his... his?
It was a very sweet Facebook post, by the way. And you two look like a very happy couple, maybe even siblings. I'm very happy for you guys.
You guys check your birthmarks. They might match. You never know. So, did you see his post about how when the World Cup comes along?
He's gonna be so mad.
He's not sure where his allegiance should lie.
Well, and that's the thing. It's being Scottish is troubling because you're Scottish, but you're also technically British.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you also technically hate England, which is a large part of being British. Like,
and a large part of being Scottish, hating England. I mean.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
So why doesn't it occur to him to just do what we do and have no interest in it at all.
That's the thing. He thought people here would be, and I'm like, people were? But, I mean, less people than are interested in our local roller derby team. Very, it did not come up. And also, this is not intentional or whatever, but I don't hang around with people who care about sports. So I'm sure there were conversations at about the World Cup.
They weren't definitely hanging out with me. Most definitely
were. No, but I mean, trying to get inside the head of a sports fan for a second. If it's because remember, this is World Cup is not the only football, soccer. I'm going to say football out of respect for the rest of this. It's not the only football available in Britain or whatever. I mean, there's leagues that are just the UK. There are other leagues in Europe that they play in and stuff like that. There's lots of different. I mean, there is such a thing as a Scottish football team. They just don't participate in the World Cup.
Right, but here's the thing.
So though, if you're a fan of it, then you know.
I have been an athlete. I do like baseball, and I follow it a little bit. Major League Baseball. My as I've said before, my interest in baseball is about the sport. I much rather watch a local team play than people paid a lot of money to play. But I do follow it a little bit, and I know a lot of people who are fans of sports and follow it. I know people who are fanatics of American sports, football, and so on. And American football is many times held up as this thing that, you know, really dominates American life. And it did. When I was in school, football was the biggest deal out of all the sports. Yeah. But
and it depends on where you live. Smaller towns in the middle of the country are often more focused
sure.
on it.
And some of that is served a little bit by the fact that if the team is good, for a lot of the young men who play on those teams, this is going to be their way out, basically. They're going to be able to get a scholarship and whatever.
And places like University of Iowa, which has so much going for it, gets so much of its money because the football team does well from alumni who were into that.
Now, all of that said...
Goddamn statue of Hayden Fry.
When I see World Cup coverage, American football's like nothing. I mean, fanaticism... And the dedication and all of that stuff, it makes American football look like I don't know what.
Well, yeah, and football hooligans kick the shit out of, literally in some cases, any sports fans we have here. Football hooligans are amazingly terrible.
More or less. Now, another interesting point about that is, to demonstrate what I'm talking about, some research in human pheromones was actually instigated by what the rest of the world calls football, where there was a question about why sometimes people get violent at football matches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, not American football matches in the rest of the world. And the hypothesis was that it was because fans of football, sometimes while they're watching the action, have to use the bathroom, but they don't want to leave. They don't want to take however much time it's going to go to find a bathroom. So
I don't like the turn the story is.
So they'll just urinate in a corner or something somewhere. And it's the pheromones in the urine is making some of the fans agitated. So that was the hypothesis.
Okay.
So what they did was, and now already, I can't imagine anything like this happening in an American football stadium. Full stop. I just can't. I don't think people pee in the corner.
The Brits do weird scientific studies. I'm not going to lie. If you listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, they do weird scientific studies.
I mean,
the Brits and the Japanese.
I don't think any... I mean, as much as Americans love American football, I don't think any of them are going to pee in a corner rather than
to the
bathroom.
No, they absolutely will. If you're drunk.
Well, okay, maybe.
And they frequently are.
So anyhow, the study was actually very interesting because what they found out was a certain pheromone, if they gave it to a man in like a vial, you know, to sniff or whatever, he would be like repelled by it, like, oh, that smells terrible or whatever. And he would feel uncomfortable with the smell of it.
And he would flip a car.
A woman couldn't smell anything. Typically, couldn't smell a thing.
Typical woman.
No, I'm just saying.
Can't smell anything.
Listen, don't do that. But that was interesting, right? Because it's an interesting thing about pheromones, We don't think about pheromones very much when it comes to humans. We don't even. We don't. A lot of people don't realize how often they contribute to our perceptions and to our feelings and everything else.
There have been a bunch of studies and an episode of MythBusters all about sweat on like T-shirts and having people smell it and what reaction that has.
Yeah.
And it varies tremendously, men and women.
Yes. Like so I thought that was really interesting, but it just that was one of the things that I heard or saw or read or whatever that made me think, wow, those soccer football fans are die hard if they won't even go to the bathroom.
Peeing on each other. No, back to my comment about how women can't smell it. So I was in a meeting this week where a coworker who is female was giving a presentation on a piece of software that we now have in-house, that has been designed in-house, that is going to do cool things for us.
Okay.
She's going around doing this to a bunch of people, but she was presenting to my team.
Sure.
And given my position, which is mostly just to sweep up after all these people, I wasn't that interested, but, you know, a little bit. But there was one particular coworker who was very interested, was also a female. And the two of them kind of went down a rabbit hole of discussion
while
we were all just around there.
Sure.
And I couldn't come up with a joke, but you know me. When I can't come up with a joke, but I know there's one there, I just make a joke about how I'm trying to find that joke.
Sure.
So I said, when there was a pause, I was like, really trying to put together like the 80s sexist joke about how women are always going on and on about software architecture. I'm like, I really feel like there's something there.
Must be.
Women just be gabbing and gabbing about software architecture. Blah, 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 blah.
Women be coding.
You ever notice how men structure their databases like this, but women structure their databases like this?
Preach it.
Anyway, how was your week?
It's fine. I mean, the colors are changing early in October this year, which is actually how it used to be back in the day, but it's kind of nice for them to change early. The problem right now is we've got, with the weather, like you were saying, the humidity, the heat, and the rain, we're supposed to peak, the colors are supposed to peak this weekend, and I'm afraid they're not going to be very strong because of all of that. And also, we had a fairly strong windstorm today, so... But we've been enjoying the early change of the leaves this fall. I'm reading Frankenstein again, and I'm realizing all the things that have happened to me since I read it last time and how that's impacting how I read it this time. It's very interesting.
You forgot about the food fight scene in the middle.
What else?
subplot involving the rats.
It seems like we've been... There's a comedy on Netflix, streaming on Netflix. They're like 30-minute episodes.
Oh, yeah. There's several. Is this the stand-up or is this the comedy lineup?
This is called Norseman, I think.
Oh, okay.
And it's...
I thought you meant stand-up comedy.
Oh, no. Okay, sorry. Okay. It's just a comedy. And it's weird because anyone who watches Vikings or The Last Kingdom... It seems to have those kind of production values and that kind of aesthetic, and it's really looks authentic, like a show that really wants to be true to the history or whatever. But there's jokes. I don't know quite how to explain it, and they're pretty funny.
I haven't heard of this. This is interesting,
especially if you're into those shows. It's almost riffing on those shows, it's kind of fun. We haven't watched very much of it, but we watched one episode. It can get pretty, the humor can get pretty blue, but it's kind of, it's like British. I don't know what I mean by that, but you can tell it's sort of that it's either made by British people or it's got a strong British sensibility. Because it seems like whenever we've watched shows that are comedies and they're British and they go blue in a very British way.
So more bawdy and double entendre than just outright vulgar as much.
Or sometimes the subject matter is sexual, but the way it's being handled in the scene almost neutralizes that completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I find these interesting. I've been sort of, lately, I'm watching panel shows. I'm specifically watching Mock the Week from the beginning forward. And so I see a lot of this stuff. And the one that I find really fascinating, because I always want to be like, you know, in my head, I want British people to be less racist than we are.
Well, yeah.
I know that's not true. And I know, I'm pretty sure the opposite is true.
Yeah.
And in fact, there is some racist humor sometimes on these panel shows. But what I have found pretty much 100% of the time, they laugh, and then one or sometimes the entire rest of the group make fun of that person for being so fucking racist. Just today, there was one, they're talking about the Chinese Olympics, and it was it's a game where here are the letters to the headline, and you have to guess what the headline is. And one of the guys was like, oh, well, it's from a Chinese newspaper. And he just made obnoxious racist noises to be the Chinese language. Mm. And people laughed at that. But then immediately one of them is like, so we're just back to being able to do that again, huh? Suddenly their comedy's up, and now racism's back on the board. Don't the Chinese... And everybody's like, ah. And he had looked abashed. And I feel weird, because like, that's what happens every... When one of them does an accent in something, they're all like, really? You went there? And there was Big Fat Quiz of Everything's that are like these 2 hour long shows doing this where they get really crazy, and like sometimes they bring out like drinks and stuff. And one, some guy got into a weird accent, and his partner on the thing was like, you've had a drink in you and you're starting to get a little racist. Maybe tone it down. And everybody laughed. And so I find it fascinating. And sometimes I appreciate these things just because it is happening with a different cultural vibe. So it's like, it's no less of a gross joke or an offensive joke, but it's interesting to see how a different culture handles it.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of sort of what you're saying with that idea. Like, there's stuff... I'm slowly realizing that I recently tried to watch a British sitcom that I eventually was like, this show's really not for me. And if it had been an American show, I would have known it, like, immediately.
Yeah.
But I was so charmed by the Britishness that it took me a while to say, no, it's still awful in ways that I don't... I'm not offended by it, but I'm like, it's just so not my kind of comedy. But it took me so long to figure that out.
Well, you know, Britain, lots of parts of Britain really celebrate their Nordic history, you know. And so I do think it's kind of for that audience. But it is funny. I mean, we might keep watching it. I don't know.
I hadn't heard of it. I'm going to check this
usually,
out.
Yeah. Usually blue humor is not our thing, but I mean, when it's British, like you said, it's almost vaudevillian blue, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we might keep watching it, but I thought I'd bring it up to you because I think you might be interested, at least looking at it. That's the only thing I can think of, that we're looking forward to Red Dead coming out in a couple weeks. But other than that, not much to talk about. What about your week?
I'm writing more. I'm getting quicker in it. I'm getting more. And it's still tricky. There are only a couple days a week I can like manage it.
Sure.
But I am getting more. I was at a point where I was basically doing a chapter a week, and Trish is like, that's going to take you a year. Literally.
Yeah.
It's a 52 chapter. And I was like, yeah. So now I'm getting better. Like Monday I did 3 chapters after work and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Like this weekend I plan to. And it's getting faster. It's getting into stuff. The early stuff is just a lot of premise setting, and that's tricky. Mm. And I'm feeling better about it as I'm going along. I've officially stopped Supernatural.
Okay, well.
Like the day after we talked last, which was 2 days since I had talked to a friend who had talked about how they don't watch it because it's too fridgy. I watched an episode in which we were trying to save a woman from a monster, and then we found out that the woman was the monster, but she wasn't aware of it except at nighttime. And so we didn't want to have to kill her, so we came up with this idea that might work. And then we thought we proved to ourselves that it worked. So that gave one of the brothers enough time to have sex with her because they had had a spark.
I remember this.
And as soon as it was done, it turned out she was still a monster and we had to kill her. And she had to beg the guy to kill her and everybody was crying. And I was like,
"Yeah."
This show is about shitty things happening to women that make these two guys feel certain ways.
Well,
I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're
talking about. And I didn't I didn't make the official decision until like the next day, and so I was halfway into another episode. So I watched the end of that episode, and just in the perfect farewell, as an almost offhand, in the last 30 seconds of the last episode I watched, one of the brothers got reward sex.
Oh.
And I was like, yep, that's how I'm going to remember you, Supernatural. And I was finally, and then the very next day, I started Orphan Black.
Mm-hmm.
And the first half of the first episode of Orphan Black is 10 times better than any episode of Supernatural I've ever seen. Mm. And I'm not even saying that's great. It's just, it's a good show. It's well put together. It's well acted. And it's not, I think it was impacting me. Like, I think the constant sort of propagation of this weird shit with the women being these objects that help define the man's character was crushing me a little bit emotionally. Like, Orphan Black is not a happy show.
No.
It is a dark show. So there's nothing pleasant about that first half of that episode. But somehow, watching that instead that day, I felt so much better leaving the gym. I think it was wearing on me a little bit.
Interesting.
But yeah, I've now watched a full episode of Orphan Black. I like it. It's going to be a little tricky because I only do half an episode every weekday. And it's got a lot more going on. So I'm like, I'm going to forget. Also, this morning, I'm watching Orphan Black at the gym on one of these seated elliptical things. That's like the closest thing to the front desk and the door. And it's the machine that is closest to the front. And I've got it sat on the machine there, and I'm pedaling away. And there's another machine next to me, and one of the little ladies that cares for me, she gets on that machine. And then another guy I know comes over, and the two of them are sort of talking over my head because they're right there. And there's not a lot going on at the moment, so I'm sort of throwing in my two cents. I'm kind of passively listening to them. And the show, Orphan Black, is about clones. I'll tell you people that. And so at this point, the main character is pretending to be someone that she is not.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who she is pretending to be, boyfriend, came home from a business trip early that she was not expecting. And this is problematic because she's not really her. And so he's asking her questions and she's having trouble answering and it's awkward. And there's a moment where he's asking something that she kind of can't answer, and her way to distract him is to have sex with him in the kitchen right there.
Yeah.
And this is basic cable. It's not premium cable. But it is late night basic cable. There was a lot being seen there.
Hmm. I don't remember that because I've watched this show.
There's a lot of butts going on, a lot of some side action, and people very clearly riding other people.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, the little lady and my other friend are just chatting here, and I'm chatting, and I'm just like, yeah, oh yeah, come on, hurry up. And also clearly aware that anybody who walks in, if they happen to look down at my tablet, I'm just like, oh my God. So that was, nobody noticed. Thank goodness.
Okay.
I'm a little disappointed because I think it was hard to tell because I was mortified. But I think had I been in my own home, I would have found it kind of a hot scene. But it was wasted on me because I was just like, oh my God, get me out of here. So yeah, I've looked into it a little bit. It's possible this may come up again. I think I've still decided I'm going to keep watching it at the gym, but
I don't even remember
it. I got to watch it because I was asking my friend who's a huge fan, and the first thing she says, I said, "How many sex scenes are there?" And she says, "I remember them. I don't know, occasionally." And she's like, "All the sex scenes I remember in Orphan Black are ridiculous." And this is over text, and I'm like, "What the hell does that mean in context of can I show it at the gym?" Like, is that good or is that bad? They're all silly or what?
I don't remember them at all. In fact, if you'd asked me if there were any explicit anything like that, I probably would have told you no.
And I saw somebody's butt later in the same episode. That one was done for joke, but it happens. I remember it was in Torchwood too because it's British television. and the rules are different. And nowadays, you can get away with that stuff on basic cable late enough at night. So, you know, no nipples came into play, nothing like that. But it was still enough that I was not happy having that right there. Like, it was also short, because that's not the point of the show. So, you know, it was probably a 30-second scene. Felt like a half hour to me, but probably a 30-second scene. So, yeah. That was, but no, I'm very intrigued. The show, I'm pleased to see where this is going to go. I know it's a limited number of episodes, and it's a completed series. I'm happy about that. So that should be cool. I think that's all I got. We got like 10 minutes, so we should probably draw a thing. Sorry I spent so much time on nice guys and also Craig marrying his sister or whatever. This episode might just have to be called Sorry Craig. I don't know.
Beth wants to know.
Beth, oh man. When's the last time Beth asked a question that I didn't just say fuck you to immediately? It's probably been a while.
I don't know.
You always laugh when I say that.
I don't.
She asks a question, and I say, well, first of all, fuck you, and then you laugh.
I don't think. With Beth's questions?
Beth's the one who asked how the house was since it had been cleaned.
Oh. Yeah.
And then
maybe.
She asks a different one about, you know, how's your diabetes? Or I don't know. She always asks these questions about ways I have failed in my life.
Beth wants to know.
Yes.
Tony, tell me the ways you failed in your life. No, that's not what it says.
God damn it. Somebody's going to write that now. Somebody's going to write that because you said it. And let's be honest. If he's respectful, Azure Talon's going to wait like a week for Beth to do it. Because it should by rights be her to
do
it.
Yeah, she should
but if it. She doesn't, he's going to jump all over that shit.
Or maybe six people will write in and we'll have to do it six times. How early in the year should one start shopping for Christmas presents? Now, back when I did shop for Christmas presents.
This is weird, because Beth recently asked us a different Christmas present story that this came up in.
Because, again, my family doesn't exchange gifts anymore for Christmas, but back when I was regularly buying on a, for like, certain people.
Yeah, yeah.
I would purchase Christmas presents, like, all year round. I mean, if I saw something, I would just buy
yes,
it.
Yes, 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 yes.
Now,
and I think we can take that as a given.
Right.
If you are a conscientious individual and you see something,
yeah.
You get it, and it depends on how your gift-giving relationship is.
Sure.
If it's March, you might just give it to him and get something else. But if it's somebody that you only see once a year and you exchange gifts, then you save it or whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to say this is what Beth meant. I think this is the version that makes it at all interesting. When you hit the point in the year where you're like, okay, time to come up with Christmas gifts
yes.
for everyone.
Yes, yes, yes.
What is that point?
Well, for me, again, if I hadn't already bought for someone, and most of the people, obviously, I hadn't, I would start Christmas shopping pretty much right after Halloween was over. I mean, I realize, you know, a lot of people think, well, you wait for sales, you wait till after Thanksgiving for some reason or whatever. Not usually before Halloween. I don't know why. That it's not like I had a rule, but yeah. I just was usually so focused on it being fall and all that stuff. But then when Halloween was over, you know, there's a few weeks to Thanksgiving, and it's like, well, what else am I going to do? And also, all the Christmas stuff is out, and it's like, yeah, I'll just do it now. And usually I would have all my Christmas shopping done before Thanksgiving. Pretty much all every time I had it done before Thanksgiving.
I would say we generally, I would say I'm about the same, basically November, December is when it happens. That's what I always tell people, including myself in this, that I tell Trish that this is a rule she should stick to also. November is when you should no longer buy yourself anything until Christmas is over.
Yeah, that was...
Because it's too close.
Yep, that's true. I didn't buy anything for myself, usually.
That I have a thing about. But I would say that is when it varies a lot. Because some years we have a plan sort of for everybody. But especially nowadays, it inevitably comes down to... We literally make a list of all the relatives. And we're like, okay, have we got something for this? Have we got ideas for this? Who's this? And some of them get pretty close to the end. We don't go shopping. We don't go to stores or whatever. We don't do that. We barely do that for our groceries. But we do mess around on Amazon, basically. Sure, and we come right. up with ideas. And we ask people, and some years people put lists together. Sometimes they don't. But, yeah, I would say that's the point. I have a harder time remembering when I was younger. I may have told this story before, but when I was 13 or 14, that Christmas was very different for me. No, I must have been older than that. I was old enough that I could go downtown in Salem by myself. So I was probably at some sort of high school age.
Okay.
And it may have been even when I was 16, because that's when I had a regular job, so I had money. But in any event, I had some money. And that year, I just got excited with gift-giving ideas.
Right.
And this had never happened before.
Because you'd never had money before, basically?
I hadn't cared. Oh. Christmas was about me getting things.
Okay.
And I would give things as a necessary token of reciprocity.
Okay.
I did a lot of homemade shit that my mother would be, hey, why don't you make the, you know, make those beaded wreath ornaments.
Sure.
And I would make those and things like that, or, you know, stuff. And Mom would usually help me figure out, and she would buy whatever it was. And I knew I had to do it because that's the rule, but I didn't give a real shit about it.
Okay.
I probably thought I did on a certain level, but I was a child. I was selfish. That year, I was very in, like, I had ideas for people, almost everyone in my family. And I was very excited, and I was determined, like, money was not a consideration. I was buying the thing I wanted to buy them, no matter how much it cost.
Yeah.
And I believe I ended up spending like $200 on Christmas gifts, which was basically all the money I had at the time. It was a huge amount of money.
Sure.
And I didn't even look back on it. And I was so enthused. And I was then very excited for people to open them.
Sure.
To the degree that it wasn't until Christmas Eve that I remembered to be excited that I was getting presents. On Christmas Eve, I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to get stuff too. Cool. I wonder what I'm going to get. But it hadn't even occurred to me up to that point.
Sure.
And I never quite recreated that. And part of that is I always liked giving gifts after that, because I still remember that feeling, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
But something about that year, I could just do no wrong in terms of knowing what I wanted to get and being really happy about it.
Yeah.
Every year after that, there were always plenty of the, I don't know what to get them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to get them something nice, but I don't have a good idea. I guess this will work. That year, I was just like, everybody, I knew exactly what I wanted to give them.
Well, I do have to say that...
But the funny thing there is I think that was probably mid-December.
Sure. I remember the first time I had any money to buy people stuff, and I remember being very excited about it. And that is something I miss about exchanging gifts, was that.
Yes.
The whole thing about, oh, this will be perfect, and getting it and seeing them open it. I do sort of miss that. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of how my parents did it. It seemed like my parents were buying gifts clear up until the last minute, it seemed like.
Yeah, that always seems to be a thing.
No. But I like, one of the reasons I like having it done before Thanksgiving is, right after Thanksgiving, we put the tree up and stuff, and it's like, I can kind of relax and enjoy all the weeks up, you know, leading up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And because, I suppose because when I was a kid and I wasn't shopping for things, I remember, like, every single week before Christmas was fun for some reason. There were TV specials on, there was snow, and it's like, I want that again. I don't want to have to worry about buying something, so I want to be done with my shopping before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's probably why I did it like
that. Let me ask you this. We only got, like, a couple minutes here, but were you ever one of those kids who tried to find where the Christmas presents were hidden?
No, I didn't want to know. I wanted to be surprised.
Me neither. I've never understood this.
Well, some people just...
I'm always like, but that being said, and I've told the story before, I was the fucking kid who woke up at 3:45 a.m. and went down and opened all my presents when nobody else was awake.
Nope, never
but
did that.
But I was also the kid who remembers that as the worst Christmas ever. Because A, I felt really guilty, and B, then we all went downstairs and everybody else opened their presents, and nobody got to see me open my presents.
Yeah.
There was no anticipation or anything like that. And I hated that. But no, I was never, to the degree that I usually knew where they were hidden. We had a room there was a room that I think was my dad's office and later became my mom's office, but there was an office downstairs that I never had any particular reason to be in. Most of the doors in our houses weren't closed ever. There was no real reason to. So, certain time of year, that door would get closed. And, like, don't go in there. The Christmas presents are in there. Like, okay.
Thanks for telling me.
I mean, it wasn't like those are Santa's presents, but that was the thing growing up. I always had some presents from mom and dad and some presents from Santa and things like that.
We did too.
But yeah, they would just say that because none of us would. Because all that does is ruin it for you. Ruin the surprise for you. Like,
yeah, I don't.
That's the thing. My parents only felt bad about the morning when I woke up early because they felt bad for me.
For you, yeah, yeah.
Like, they weren't like, we didn't get to see you. No. I mean, I'm sure they were a little disappointed in that, but that wasn't. If I had been happy, I don't even think that would have been much of a thing. That was the year we had to institute the rule that 7 a.m. was the earliest. And at 7 a.m., I could wake up everybody.
Well,
but I had to wait till then.
I was not anxious, even when Christmas Day came, to rush it. I was perfectly happy to let the adults decide to do it.
Oh, no, I was super. Nowadays, I'm very fine with
being slow. We had a thing like a lot of people do. Well, you can open one gift on Christmas Eve or whatever. And I liked that. I liked being able to open one before.
We had that, but it was always specifically like from the shitty aunt and uncle that would give me like pajamas or some shit.
Part of that, though, is that Santa's gifts weren't
Santa
there until
the
next morning, and he had the cooler things, right? So I did like that, but when Christmas Day came, I didn't mind waiting clear until the afternoon. I was not because I did like getting gifts, obviously, but once they were opened, it's like, oh, now it's over.
Trish's family
had
rules. When you got up, whenever that was, you could mess with your stocking.
Oh, that's
but then everybody had to be together. Everybody had to have eaten breakfast. And had to be dressed before we did the presents. Mm-hmm. And this blew my goddamn mind because in my house, everybody got up, went downstairs, and then we opened everything in our pajamas.
Yeah.
And then we worried about eating. And then we usually didn't get dressed until sometime in the early afternoon when we were going to head to whoever's house for the big family Christmas dinner. So I was like, what? Why are we dressing to open Christmas presents?
Well, I mean, in our family, we did not open presents the first thing in the morning. Usually family was going to come over. We were going to eat lunch or dinner or something. So we were always opening gifts pretty late in the day.
Oh, see. No, there was a family had Christmas, and sometimes it was us. It usually wasn't us, though, because we were an hour away from Portland, and everybody else was in Portland. Mm-hmm. But somebody had Christmas there. But everybody had their own Christmas morning at their house.
And then you got together.
And then you got together for the extended family things. And that still kind of happens now, because with Trish's family, we're there, because we stay there when we visit. Mm-hmm. And the youngest sister comes over pretty quick. The other ones are across the country. But then there's the other ones who live in town, and they've got two kids. They have their family morning Christmas, and they make a thing of, like, not rushing it. And so we wait till them sometimes, but also they're like, if you really can't stand waiting, it's okay. We understand. We're just not going to rush ours.
What about the Jesus cake? When does that get eaten?
It varies. It gets bought. It gets ordered from a specific bakery time. Yeah. And it gets, but it that varies because dessert is a tricky thing at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're eating so much at all times of the day. It's usually a 4-day process or something. There's like 12 other dessert. There's 12 pies or 15 pies.
Sure.
It's always too many pies. And then also, once Christmas hits, our stocking full of candy. So then there's that. So.
But it's the Jesus cake.
Yeah, no, it gets eaten. It's just, like, we try. Like we have dinner one night. It's like, you want to say happy birthday? Oh, no, I'm too full. Okay.
So they don't.
Guys, Christmas is almost over. We really need the happy birthday. Okay, we'll do it. Does anybody want to eat any? I'll take a little slice.
Did they hide a baby Jesus in there next year?
No.
Next year, that person has to buy the Jesus cake?
No.
You should try that.
Yeah, no, I. I'm
who's got
sad.
The baby Jesus?
I'm sad I didn't come up with that. I love that. I'm going to make that happen. It's like it's the King of Kings cake.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent. Brilliant. Oh, man. We've started a whole industry now.
William was so happy at that one, he reflexively tried to shake my hand. He liked that joke that well.
It was good. Fantastic.
Sorry, Craig. The episode has a new title.
What if we started a whole industry? Like, what if we could sell these and make lots of money?
King of Kings, King.
Yeah, LLC. People would buy them from us. That'd be awesome.
All right.
Find the baby Jesus.
Help, it's my birthday. I'm trapped in this cage.
And
all right, we got to go before we get struck by lightning.
Okay. They don't even have to pick a white baby Jesus. They could pick any color baby Jesus they want.
One year, my mother-in-law said the Jesus cake was chocolate because Jesus told her that year that he wanted chocolate. And I'm like, this woman is a member of her church. How does she not think she's getting struck? Like, I don't believe in this stuff, and even I'm a little aghast. It's like, yeah, Jesus told me he wants chocolate. Jesus didn't tell you shit. That is rude to be using him for your own. But that's like saying, Jesus told me you have to give me $5. Like, no, that's not appropriate. Sorry, Jesus, and sorry, Craig, and everybody listen next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.